Right, Thursday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me see who is in the chat, the Rumble chat. Jenny Malfizi is on. General Plowman is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Bob Corley is on. Skunk 71 is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Peg McGroin is on. Richard Perry's on. Buckeye Nut 1968 is on. Granite 2468 is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Agra Vane is on. Here's a good one. Chemical Toilet is on. Let me see here. General Plowman is on. JBC 2020 is on. Let me see. Tim L. T. Bird is on. Lady Boo is on. Malamute Lover is on. Hotshot Insights is on. Let me see. Mike Griffith is on. Arcadia Angel is on. Scrolling down. Laura Jean Lynn is on. Salty Gonads is on. Blade Runner is on. Let me see here. Let me get a couple more. Peg McGroin is on. Aphrodites is on. Sheila K is on. Biggie 926 is on. Tim L. T-Bird is on. Miniball is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. LA 106 Times is on. K4 VMS is on. Uncle Wally is on. Let me grab one or two more. Todd Suff is on. Mimi 2424 is on. Greg Nine Mon is on. Let me grab one more here. Grab one. Somebody I haven't seen. Riffa Dota is on. Appreciate each and every one of you. Just one thing off of the pregame. Why is it that every single Democrat has to lie about who they are? I mean, if you have to lie about who you are, then are you authentic in any area of life? Are you authentic in your beliefs? Are you authentic in your stance? And of course, we're talking about Jasmine Crockett, who says that she is from urban Dallas. That's what she actually puts that out there. She, and listen, people can call me racist all they want. She talks like she's from urban Dallas. That goes black or white, by the way. Urbanites try to talk like they're urbanites for some reason. Instead of like refining their speech and things like that, they just choose to speak like that. It's fine, whatever. But she speaks like a Dallas, a low-income urbanite. But that is not remotely who she is, and that's not where she came from. Aaron brought this up also. It's just like AOC always claims that she's Jenny from the Bronx. She's not. She was from a rich suburb in Jersey. That's where AOC comes from. So whenever she talks about, listen, when she talks like that, because she's never, ever, ever lived in a neighborhood where anybody talks like, listen. Nobody ever talks like that. She was in a rich neighborhood. She basically was a failure, became a bartender. That's it. Had every advantage in life, plenty of money, was a rich person, and failed and became a bartender because she probably got a useless degree. And Jasmine Crockett, I'll do her credit, did go to law school. And of course, that was probably a DEI appointment into that law school because she definitely does not reach the Olympic reaches of IQ and intellect. But anyway, where she really came from was upscale St. Louis. Nothing to do with Dallas. Upscale St. Louis, came from rich home. She attended the Maury Institute. That's where she and Aaron like, That's where she went. And you know how much that costs? $35,000 a year to go to school. You know what? I think the three of us in this room graduated from Lemon Bay High School right here. Mm-hmm. Or went to Lemon Bay High School right here. All three of us in this room. What did that cost every year? Zero. Okay, but her school, $35,000 a year. That's where she went. And so... all totaled, her education, it actually cost right around $1 million. Okay, now I can add up all of mine for you because I went to 4 years of high school, 5 years of college. When I was in college, now part of the time I was on a football scholarship, but let's just pretend for a moment that I wasn't. We'll just, that what it was per year, about $8,000 a year. UCF at the time, way more expensive than that now. University of Central Florida. The only reason why I even got in there, you're wondering how in the world did you get in there, Tom? Because of football. And back then, a walk-on, they'd give you a special exemption to go in. But anyway, so, I mean, all totaled, my education, $45,000. Something like that. Hers, $990,000. And she claims to be a downtrodden suburbanite. And she's a rich elitist who talks like a downtrodden suburbanite. That's who she, not just another phony. Biden, All he does is lie about himself. Bill Clinton lies about himself. Hillary Clinton lies about himself. Herself. So it's just one right after AOC lies about herself. Chuck Schumer lies about himself. And one of the big lies is that he's actually married to a man. I'm telling you, that there's no way his quote unquote wife is a female. Just pull up the, do me a favor, pull up the pictures right now. All right, so I'll hop into some things here. Then we're going to get to the new scum eruption that happened today. See Reason video, an email from Obama's deputy AG, Sally Yates. I almost named the podcast tonight, Every Day, Another Revelation, but I just wanted to get into the whole new scum thing. I just had to because it's more fun. But anyway, so here's another absolutely, we kind of highlighted it a little bit last night. Because it was just Solomon said it was going to come out today. So we were talking about it a little bit last night. But anyway, an email from Obama's deputy AG, Sally Yates, found by Cash Patel. Again, Cash Patel's killing it now. It's killing it now. Tulsi Gabbard, killing it now. Pam Bondi, killing it now. They are. Okay, they are. You know, that's what happens with a lot of people is when they go negative, they feel like they're now sort of in an obligatory fashion. They're obligated to being negative because once they turn on a person, they have to just justify that turning. Not me. You do good. I'm going to highlight it. If Joe Biden was securing a peace deal with Ukraine, I'd be highlighting it and giving him his kudos. Even if it was Kamala Harris, even the very start of the word Kamala, when that comes out, a little vomit percolates in the back of my throat. But anyway, so found by Cash Patel, explicitly told FBI agents investigating corruption at the Clinton Foundation to shut it down. The question is, why isn't the Clinton Foundation being audited right now by the IRS? Play for me.
Tonight, we're going to tell you about the other Clinton investigation, one that was running in three separate FBI offices, New York, Washington, and Little Rock. It was a predicated criminal investigation that was examining whether Hillary Clinton ran a pay-to-play scheme that delivered favors from her perch as Secretary of State while foreigners and others paid large sums of money to her family foundation, the Clinton Foundation, run by Bill Clinton and their daughter, eventually Chelsea Clinton. Three separate agencies, three separate bureaus, offices of the FBI believe they had predicated evidence to pursue that. Every time they tried to move the ball down the road in the shadows of the 2016 election, they got shut down. I mean, they got shut down at the highest levels of their agency. Andrew McCabe, the deputy director, a man who potentially had a conflict of interest with Hillary Clinton. His wife got money from Hillary Clinton's former campaign chair to run for a Virginia State Senate. And by the way, McCabe attended the meeting where that assistance was solicited. He eventually was conflicted out, but not before he gave the order to his agents that you won't investigate or do anything on this unless I approve it. Downstream from them, four different U.S. attorneys' offices under Barack Obama were asked for help by the agents. Agents need help. We need a grand jury. We need to get evidence. We want to move the case down the road. All three of those four offices told the agents, you're on your own. We will not assist you in your pursuit of criminal charges against Hillary Clinton. And then perhaps the most extraordinary statement in the document that we are going to show you on screen now. They can put it up as you're looking here. The Deputy Attorney General for Barack Obama, Sally Yates, explicitly told the FBI, shut it down, meaning the corruption probes of Hillary Clinton. Think about this. While Donald Trump was out on the campaign trail chanting, lock her up, maybe there was a good reason to lock up Hillary Clinton, he would argue every night. The Obama Justice Department was telling the FBI agents who also thought there might be a reason to lock up Hillary Clinton, shut it down. Remember those words. We have a lot more up for you. In a second, we're going to bring in Senator Ron Johnson, someone who's been instrumental in exposing so much of this incredible, dirty scheme in Washington. But one last piece of note before I bring in Amanda. We have now confirmed tonight there are some prosecutors who have come forward and are willing to cooperate with Attorney General Pam Bondi and, of course, FBI Director Cash Patel, who found this document. He found this document based on some whistleblowers that Justin News had. He went and got it. He has other emails that he's going to be turning over to Congress that I think will further this narrative. This is the beginning, but we've told you this was a double-headed scandal. The first part was pursuing false allegations against Republicans. The second was forming a protection racket around Democrats like Hillary Clinton and Biden family and others, Joe Biden himself, when it came to classified documents.
All right, so let's break this down for just a moment. And again, here's the thing. Things are happening. Now, Tom, are you predicting that there's going to be arrests? I wouldn't dare predict it. All of my predictions, I can't say all of them, but a lot of my predictions that I've been very aggressive about have not come true. Okay, so I mean, and so I've learned now that you might like, well, we never hear you predict much, Tom. Yeah, you know what? I learned in 2020 and 2021 to not predict. So I don't predict a lot of things. All I can tell you is this is different. This is different. We're going to deep dive into this. You're going to see why it is that this is actually different. What Trump is doing this time is actually a different thing. And one thing, it gets very confusing with all of this because there's such a myriad of charges and offenses against Hillary Clinton. I mean, you have the Clinton Foundation, which we're discussing right now, which we'll get right back to. Then you have the Clinton emails. Then you have the Clinton collusion hoax. All right, so you have, and you have two separate sort of AG figures. You got Sally Yates, you got Loretta Lynch. It gets kind of confusing. AG's shutting it down everywhere. Comey's shutting it down everywhere. Loretta Lynch meeting with Bill Clinton on the tarmac to shut down the investigation, not into the Clinton Foundation, but to the Clinton emails. See, I mean, they're so corrupt, and you could literally find 500 charges against them. I mean, Billy, who knows how many, but against Hillary alone. But things are different this time. They really are. This is a different investigation. Let's break this down. So here you have Andrew McCabe. All right. Now, he, of course, was the fired interim director of the FBI who took the place of fired director James Comey, both of which were fired for lying. I mean, so you had Comey fired for releasing classified information, lying, and Andrew McCabe also was fired for lying. Andrew McCabe gave the order to stop this investigation of FBI agents looking into the Clinton Foundation, which was an obvious pay to play. Whenever the Clintons are in power, the Clinton Foundation would swell with income. And whenever the Clintons weren't in power, it would absolutely diminish into zero income. And there was always an allotment. There was always an alignment. There was always a, and then people always want to talk about the difference between causation and correlation. There was always a correlation between a large donation to the Clinton Foundation and executive action by the Obama administration coming out of the Department of State, where Hillary Clinton, of course, was the Secretary of State. Strange, isn't it? I mean, it's all very weird that, like, Uranium One would donate, you know, $100 million to the Clinton Foundation, and suddenly Hillary Clinton wants to sell Russia. Basically, I'm trying to remember, 20% of the United States enriched uranium. That's weird, isn't it? Isn't that weird? I mean, it's just a little, I mean, that right after Uranium One, which is a corporation controlled directly by Vladimir Putin, and it's always Russia, Russia, Russia with Trump, and never Russia, Russia, Russia with the people who are actually dealing with Russians, i.e. Hunter Biden receiving money from Russia, Joe Biden receiving money from Ukraine, the Clintons receiving money from Russia. Bill Clinton gets a $500,000 speaking deal inside of Russia right after that Ukrainian one donation also. That's weird, isn't it? I mean, I'm sure it's all just coincidence. So, I mean, you can see all of this. I mean, again, these are not, I wish that I had a better vocabulary, because these are not mysteries shrouded in mist. We don't need Sherlock Holmes to come in and work the case. It's all flat out in the open, audacious crime. That's what it is. There's nothing, I mean, it's receive a donation and immediately the Department of State works on your behalf. That's exactly what happened every freaking time if the donation was big enough. Uranium One, Russian company, they give money to the Clinton Foundation, tens of millions of dollars. Suddenly, Hillary Clinton works out a deal with Hussein Obama to sell that particular company, 20% of our enriched uranium. And Billy gets a $500,000 speaking engagement in downtown Moscow. I mean, I'm just trying to remember right now, how many presidents ever go and speak in downtown Moscow? I can't think of any outside of Billy who got paid $500,000 to go do that. It's kind of weird, isn't it? Isn't that weird? And of course, you and I got to pay for Chelsea Clinton's $30 million wedding out of the Clinton Foundation, which is a 501c3. How did that work on your tax paper? I'm just curious because I run a 501c3 organization too. And I'm just wondering how it is that you run a 501c3 organization and pay for your daughter's $30 million wedding. I'm just curious how that works. And I'm also very curious about how it is that the Clinton Foundation took in $36 million a year, disseminated about $5 million, and spent $31 million disseminating $5 million. Classic NGO right there, isn't it? I mean, it's kind of weird. Jet set, fly all over the place. It costs you $31 million to give away $5 million. And who knows where those are $5 million alleged donations, probably to Democratic Party campaigns, Democratic Party consultants, Democratic Party attorneys. That's probably all that it was, as well as like Planned Parenthood and things like that. But anyway, she got McCabe, gives the order. You know what? As the director of the FBI or deputy director of the FBI at the time, he tells his FBI agents, don't investigate into the Clinton Foundation. When the FBI is just saying, this is clear. And by the way, it's absolutely clear. Again, these are not mysteries. There's nothing to solve here. The crime is right there out in the open, as if you watch somebody murder somebody on video. That's how clear these are. They're absolutely clear. So there's nothing really. So McCabe committed a crime here by telling his own people, this is just flat out corruption, flat out corruption. So you have McCabe tell his FBI agents, you know what? Stop the investigation. Who would ever do that? I'm telling you, I worked in law enforcement for 25 years. Nobody ever does things like this. If people are going to try to pull it off, they'll pull it off in a more secreted sort of way. Not McCabe. He just flat out gave the order. Whistleblowers are coming in. That's what's different about this right now. Tom, are you predicting? I'm not predicting anything. I'm telling you this is different. I've been watching John Solomon give rock solid reports for the last decade. Nothing ever happens. This is different. It is different. You're going to see why in just a minute. Now, why would McCabe give that order? Well, because his wife received a very large donation. Can anybody guess from what foundation? The Clinton Foundation. It was actually from Clinton campaign money. She received money because she was running for some sort of office. And she received money from Clinton. And McCabe was in the meeting with the Clinton Foundation or the Clinton campaign, whoever was donated the money to McCabe's wife. McCabe himself was in the meeting soliciting the money while he's investigating the Clinton Foundation and then says, let's no longer investigate, orders his FBI agents to no longer investigate. That's a little corrupt. That sounds a little bit corrupt, doesn't it? This is our country, folks. This is how it really is. Four different federal agencies turned down the FBI FBI's request to help in this investigation. People were like, nope. AGs were, nope. Courts, nope. Everybody just turned, prosecutors, nope. And one of the things is very interesting there that John Solomon said, again, this is all very different, is that prosecutors, federal prosecutors are coming in wanting to testify. Why would that be so they don't go to freaking federal prison? That's why. The rats are scurrying from the ship. And what you're seeing in all of these cases, it all is a little bit hyperbolic, but most of these cases is what I call a mirror defense. The Democrats are guilty of it, i.e. Hillary Clinton, Clinton Foundation, colluding with Russia. What did she accuse Donald Trump of doing through Mark Elias and Perkins Coie, through Fusion GPS, through Christopher Steele and Igor Danchenko? What is it that she accused Donald Trump of doing, colluding with Russia, after she colluded with Russia? Same exact thing. They all know that the Penn Biden Center is going to be exposed, where you have Joe Biden storing classified documents that there's no reason, no justification for him to ever have. He's storing them at the Penn Biden Center. He's storing them into his garage next to a 67 Stingray that Hunter Biden's driving in and out of every day with Russian hookers. So they all know that that's about to be exposed. So what do they do with Donald Trump? What do they do? They accuse Donald Trump of having classified documents he's allowed to be in possession of because of the Presidential Records Act. I mean, it's not hard. I mean, this is exactly what they're doing. So this is all coming to light. So you have Sally Yates. Not only does the FBI director tell his FBI agents, shut this investigation down. Then you have Sally Yates, Obama's deputy AG under Loretta Lynch, tells the FBI, shut this investigation down. You know, everyone realize, and then you always are hearing Democrats talking about Donald Trump is not allowed to have any influence over the DOJ. Donald Trump's colluding with the DOJ, with Pam Bondi and Cash Patel. He's colluding. Could there be any more collusion than Obama's deputy AG telling somebody to shut down the investigation into a Secretary of State's 501c3 foundation? Could it be? Could there be any more collusion? I don't think so. All right, let's go to the next one. Real Roberts, is that where we're at, Will?
Yes, sir.
All right, Real Roberts video. It turns out, here's another set of crimes. Moving on now, again, you have to keep track of what all the things Hillary Clinton did wrong. Clinton Foundation investigation, shut down by the FBI, shut down by the AG. Clinton emails, shut down by James Comey. And then you had the Clinton collusion hoax. Here's another one. Real Robert, it's one of these. Real Roberts video. It turns out that Barack Hussein Obama not only ordered the FBI and DOJ not to arrest Hillary Clinton for espionage tied to her email scandal, but also her crimes connected to the Clinton Foundation while she was serving as Secretary of State. Listen to this. Play for me.
About what the Obama Justice Department ordered federal lawyers to do and not to do concerning the Hillary Clinton email investigation. Chief Intelligence Correspondent Catherine Herridge tells us in sworn testimony on Capitol Hill, one of the insiders told lawmakers what she was told.
During closed-door testimony last summer, former FBI lawyer Lisa Page said the Obama administration's Justice Department advised the FBI not to pursue the gross negligence statute for Hillary Clinton in the mishandling of classified information. Former U.S. Attorney and House Republican John Ratcliffe led the line of questioning about the statute, known as 18 U.S.C. 793. Ratcliffe, you're making it sound like it was the department that told you you're not going to charge gross negligence because we're the prosecutors. Page interrupted, "That is correct." Page's testimony appears to conflict with then-FBI Director James Comey's recommendation in July 2016 against criminal charges for Clinton.
What I can assure the American people is that this investigation was done honestly, competently, and independently. No outside influence of any kind was brought to bear.
The Republican-led House Oversight and Judiciary Committee investigation ended in January, with Democrats now in control. The committee's new ranking Republican made the Page transcript public.
The transcript releases show an inherent two-tier system, one in which Hillary Clinton gets the treatment that she got, where they was actually at first concerned that they were going to charge her, and then with Loretta Lynch in charge, before she recused herself, made it very clear that that was not going to happen.
The tip-off came from a chart drawn up by federal investigators assigned to the Clinton case known as Mid-Year Exam. Fox News has confirmed that the chart listed possible federal statutes for prosecution. Next to gross negligence was a notation, quote, DOJ not willing to charge this. Only known cases are military. Cases when accused lost the information. In response to the Page revelations, the president tweeted the transcripts, quote, make the Obama Justice Department look exactly like it was, a broken and corrupt machine.
The Page transcript also confirms Fox's earlier reporting. The Page testified Russia collusion was still unproven when special counsel Robert Mueller was appointed. Brett?
Captain, thank you.
You see, you need to remember that was coming out during the Trump administration. You might be wondering why it is this was never prosecuted. Because at the time, you didn't have Cash Patel and Dan Bongino in charge of the FBI. And listen, I've been hard on those two, and justifiably so, with the old Epstein rollout. Justifiably so. But I do believe both of them are honest men. I really do. To this right now, I do believe that. So back in the original Trump administration, 17 to early 2021, Trump didn't know any of these things. And none of us would. None of us would have known. A lot of you were red-pilled by Alex Jones a long time ago. I was not. I was red-pilled 5-6 years ago. Aaron was red-pilled when he was like 8 watching Alex Jones. Fact. That's what he's doing. I mean, seriously, Aaron's known this stuff for a long time.
I'm weird.
Me, I like to live in sweet oblivion. By the way, I was happier when they didn't know.
True.
I used to love believing that the FBI was honest. Okay, I used to love believing that it was actually Islamist terrorists that were the ones who blew up 9/11, blew up the Twin Towers. I wish it was. I wish it was. I mean, I thought it was a righteous cause in Vietnam. I thought Will fighting over in Iraq was a righteous cause. He was righteous. He's a hero, but the cause wasn't. Okay, he never should have been over there risking his life. But anyway, so you see this entire thing. And again, none of this is shrouded in mist. None of this needs to be uncovered. It's right there. Why wasn't it prosecuted then? Because you had people like Rod Rosenstein who wanted to wear a wire to entrap Trump I mean, imagine being Ron Rosenstein at the time, the acting AG under Donald J. Trump, by the way. Rod Rosenstein volunteered with Comey and McCabe to wear a wire to go and try to entrap Donald Trump on the, it's hard to even talk about it because none of it makes any sense. I mean, none of it is honest. None of it is logical. He was going to wear a wire to try to entrap Donald Trump for collusion that he knew never occurred. I mean, Rod Rosenstein volunteered. I'm going to wear a wire. We're going to try to do the 25th Amendment. We're going to do these things and get the president out, have Mike Pence take over. That should tell you one thing. If everybody want, if every globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist, corruptocrat wants you to be the president, what does that make you? I.e. Judas Pence. So Rod Rosenstein at the time, these are the people that were in charge. You had Comey in charge at the time, Rod Rosenstein in charge at the time, Christopher Wray in charge at the time. These people couldn't be any more soulless, couldn't be any more corrupt, and couldn't be any more repulsive than they are. But you had Rod Rosenstein actually volunteering to wear a wire in to go meet with the president of the United States to try to entrap him in some sort of collusion charge when he knew the originating incident never occurred. Tom, you're telling me Rod Rosenstein knew there was no collusion, yet was trying to entrap Trump into a collusion charge of some sort? Yes. Yes. That's how, and they, if they could have, they would have put, they'd have Trump in prison right now and sleep like babies at night, knowing that they made up the offense. No, that's who they are. That's how horrible, I mean, I'm telling you, people like this, you know, James Comey, Robert Mueller, anybody and everybody, Lisa Page that we just saw in this, Peter Strzok, all of them, all of these people involved in this, they will put you in prison for the rest of your life under a false charge. They'll actually create the incident that you are nowhere near, accuse you of being involved in it, knowing that the incident never occurred, put you in prison for 15 years or for the rest of your life and sleep like babies tonight. Absolutely sleep like babies tonight. And Andrew Weissman, people like that. Absolutely. You know, Mueller's pit bull, who's an effeminate man. Just like Rod Rosenstein is an effeminate man. They all are. So here you have. So again, this was covering up for the Clinton emails, the 30,000 deleted emails. Remember where she actually went outside. I love watching that interview. It's absolutely hysterical. We have a Trump operative. I can't remember his name right offhand. Speaking with somebody at MSNBC or CNN. And the CNN, and he says, you know what? She smashed her devices with a hammer. And he goes, now that has to be confirmed. I mean, that has to be confirmed. And immediately they fact checked it on air and it was right. She goes out there and she smashes all of her devices with hammers. I mean, isn't that indicative of guilt? How many of you have ever gone out and smashed your devices with a hammer? Now, I've smashed some devices in temper tantrums, but other than that, never. And I mean, she was actually at that time, you could delete some sort of data. This is before iClouds and everything else. So when you actually smashed your phone, there was at least a chance of not being able to retrieve that data. But anyway, she's doing all these things, right? So the key in all this is, did she commit the offense of gross negligence? Having a unsecured state freaking department hard drive in a bathroom in Denver? I think that would possibly meet the statutory requirements of gross negligence. Would everybody agree with that? That was actually proven to have been hacked. Not the DNC's hard drive. That was never hacked, Seth Rich, all of that. Seth Rich hacked that hard drive and gave it to Julian Assange. And Seth Rich was murdered. And then Mike Pompeo tried to kill Julian Assange. You know what all those are, Aaron? You know what all those are? Facts. That's what actually happened. That's what happened. There was never a Russian hack of the DNC. It's another just bold-faced lie that they make up and endlessly espouse in gaslit fashion. Just propagandize right out of Joseph Goebbels' book. And they are the reincarnates of Joseph Goebbels. That's who these people are. There's no difference between Adolf Hitler, Joseph Goebbels, Mengele, and the modern Democratic Party. They commit all the same offenses, all the exact same offenses. But here's the thing with gross negligence. Will love this. The only people that ever get charged with that are those paltry peasant military people. You know, the ones that just keep the country safe, the ones that actually keep us from foreign invasion, people like Will who actually go fight in wars. I mean, those disgusting Walmart Will people, they get charged with gross negligence. But not Hillary Rodham Clinton, who's never accomplished anything in her life but sleeping to the top. That's all she did. I mean, she didn't like sleep with multiple men. The only thing that gave her any sort of credibility whatsoever is that she was having sex with Bill Clinton. That's it. Same with Michelle Obama. It's the exact same thing with her. She never accomplished a thing in her life. Hillary Clinton was actually kicked out of her first job for her habitual lying, having to do with the whole Nixon administration and his persecution via prosecution. But anyway, so you have CIA, now CIA Director John Ratcliffe, at the time Congressman John Ratcliffe. Lisa Page confirmed to me under oath that the FBI was ordered by the Barack Obama DOJ not to consider charging Hillary Clinton for gross negligence. So we're not going to charge her for her obvious pay-to-play corruption with the Clinton Foundation. No charges there for her. If you did it, federal prison for the rest of your life. They all sleep like babies at night. But for Hillary, obvious corruption with the Clinton Foundation, that gets called off by Sally Yates. That gets called off by Andrew McCabe. And Lisa Page, under oath, remember, she was the girl banging Peter Strzok. You know, we have a plan. We have a plan to keep Trump out of the office. We're going to stop it. Remember all those emails from the lovers? Remember that? This is the lady banging Peter Strzok. And she confirmed under oath that the FBI was ordered by the Obama DOJ not to consider charging Hillary Clinton for gross negligence and the handling of classified information. We saw on their communications that the DOJ will not consider this. They only do this with the peasant military people. That's the only people that it ever happens to, the peasant military people. It's like classified documents. You could have Joe Biden, who never ever, the only classified documents Joe Biden's allowed to be in possession of are over the last 4 years. 21, 22, 23, and 24. That's it. He had 30 years worth of classified documents, many of them highly compartmented classified documents, had all of those in his possession. He doesn't get charged at all, but the guy who takes a picture of his workstation in a nuclear submarine, revealing no secrets whatsoever, gets federally prosecuted. Because federal prison. If it's a Clinton or a Biden, nothing. I mean, is Hunter in prison right now? We got child porn. We got drug use. We got felonious possession of a firearm. I mean, numerous other charges, many other FARA charges. No, he's still out. But if you did any of those things, you'd be spending a considerable amount of the rest of your life in federal prison. A transcript excerpt of his interview with Page, John Ratcliffe interviewing Lisa Page. This is in a sequestered portion of the House hearing. Ratcliffe. Okay, so let me, if I can, I know I'm testing your memory, speaking to Lisa Page, but when you say advice you got from the department, you're making it sound like it was the department that told you you're not going to charge gross negligence because we're the prosecutors and we're telling you we're not going to prosecute it. Lisa Page, her answer to that is correct. Why is Lisa Page not in prison? Why are the people that told her not to prosecute in prison? Because at that time, Donald Trump didn't know that he's thinking, okay, I know Page is corrupt. I know Strzok is corrupt. I know Andrew Weissman's corrupt. I know Mueller's corrupt. Comey's corrupt. Rosenstein's corrupt. Comey's corrupt. I know all of that, but the people investigating them aren't corrupt, are they? Anybody in Washington, D.C. is corrupt. If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere, only if you're on your knees and bent over. That's it. Only if you go, I mean, there's so many disgusting things I want to say right now. Only if you are willing to bleepity bleep, 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 and bleep, bent over with your hands spread in your butt cheeks, or will you ever make it in Washington, D.C.? That's it. And that's who these people are. And Donald Trump didn't know that then, and either did I. I remember when Donald Trump got elected. I remember because the next day, I had my favorite thing in the world the next day. Computer training at the Sarasota County Sheriff's Office. You know, Aaron knows how great I am with computers. Like, me and computers are as one.
He loves them.
I love them. I love a computer. No, I mean, so I mean, like, we are just merged together as one, you know. AI, I hate them. Okay, I don't understand them. They don't work. They don't turn on. Whatever. I don't know. They always work when Aaron uses it. Then when I use it, it stops working. And my son always says it's user error.
Weird.
Okay, it's weird. It just stops working. But anyway, I sat there. I had no sleep. I stayed up all night watching the election. And I was sitting there in sweet. I mean, I had like 48 minutes of sleep. And I'm sitting there, and I'm at computer training, which I hate, and just sitting in my glory. I mean, I was just so happy. And for like those years, 2017, 2018, 2000, I retired in midway through 2017. So, right, I mean, that's when I retired from the sheriff's office. And, man, I took like 2 years and did nothing. You know, like, didn't, I mean, I was running the church and stuff, but I mean, in comparison to doing church and police work all at the same time, it was a year, 2 years of doing nothing in my mind. And it was glorious. And then everything fell to crap in 2019, and I got woken up. Because back then, man, I lived in sweet oblivion, and I was a happier person. Tom, shouldn't you be happier now than you've ever been? Yeah, but I'm not. Because now I know the truth. I mean, I used to believe that Republicans were fighting on my behalf. Not right. There's about four of them up there fighting on my behalf. Rest of them, useless or corrupted or both. All right, so anyway, let's move on. So, I don't even know where I'm at. Am I a patriot?
Yes,
patriot,
sir.
Okay. Patriots are in control video. Boom, John Solomon is reporting. Now, here is why this is different. You're like, what? I can't keep track. We got the Clinton Foundation investigation. We got the Clinton email investigation. We got the collusion investigation. Got the Epstein investigation. Got all these things going on. Here's why it's different. Boom, John Solomon is reporting that multiple grand juries outside of D.C. have begun gathering evidence related to the grand conspiracy. Play it for me.
I believe that there are multiple grand juries that have begun work around this country in multiple jurisdictions outside of Washington where evidence is now being gathered.
You do?
I do.
Can report that, or you have reason to believe that?
Nope. I have confirmed witnesses and who've had contact with the grand jury. So there are grand jurors in multiple locations. Some of those are in Virginia. I believe one is going to begin based on early discussions in Pennsylvania. There may be one in New York. And so the activity has begun. And the question now is, and those are probably not going to be the indicting locations. I think the more likely thing is you use multiple grand juries just to make it easy to gather lots of information quickly. That's the way strike forces work. And then you keep working from there. But there are multiple locations where pieces of this are being looked at. And maybe the grand jurors don't even know it's a grand conspiracy, just looking at some of the overt acts in one of these chapters of this sad story. But that is going on. And I think it's going to be a process, right?
One word, different. It's different than what we've never impaneled grand juries before, folks. And there's so many different tributaries to different rivers. Okay, there's different investigations. You have the conspiracy against rights, which is the Mar-a-Lago raid, the collusion hoax, impeachment one, impeachment two, the prosecutions of Donald Trump, the persecutions of Donald Trump via prosecution. The civil prosecutions, the criminal, that's a criminal prosecution. All of these things are the conspiracy against rights. Every time you do it, it's a felony. And it's a continuing conspiracy. Therefore, the statute of limitations hasn't even begun yet. So you have all of that as well as into the Clinton Foundation, the Clinton emails, and the collusion part of the Clinton's involvement in the collusion hoax. All those different things, Obama's part in the collusion hoax. And the great thing about these things is when you get subpoenaed from a grand jury to come and testify, I'll test my panel over here. That's Aaron and Will. Can you say no to a subpoena from a grand jury?
Nope.
Nope. So you will go if you're Hussein. Hussein got to go. He's going to be shoehorned out of his mansion in Martha's Vineyard. That's supposed to be underwater, according to his climate change beliefs. But anyway, regardless of that, as well as his mansion in Maui, or that's not Maui. Aaron always corrects me. It's someplace. Oprah's Maui. But anyway, in Hawaii is one of his three mansions that he lives in, as the poor pauper that he is. But anyway, he will be shoehorned out of his cushy little lifestyle, ushered into a grand jury to give testimony. And there's no defense there either. It's pure prosecutorial. It's a purely prosecutorial procedure. That's it. There's no defense. And you will testify. You're like, well, yeah, but he's got immunity. Yeah, if you have immunity, that means you can't plead the fifth. So if he lies there, that's what got Lisa Page. She ain't going to lie. She's perfectly willing to be an adulterer. She's perfectly willing to be a Democratic Party whore. But you know what? She doesn't want to spend the rest of her life in federal prison. So that's where a lot of these Democrats pull the ripcord. I'm out. And you see all these prosecutors now, federal prosecutors, lining up to be whistleblowers because the walls are closing in. Or you can look at it as the walls are coming down. And see, this time Trump has 3.5 years. 3.5 years. This hasn't been handed over to some dolt like John Durham. This is actually being handled by pit bulls, by sharks. That's who it's being handled. But we'll see. I believe in Battelle and Bongino. Yes, it's been hurt. My belief in them has gone down a couple notches. I live in the realm of reality. I don't believe much in Bondi, but she can prove me wrong. I love it when people prove me wrong to the positive. I love it. Hate it when it's the negative, but I love it when it's positive. So this is a big deal. Never impaneled these grand juries. If Hussein Obama lies in the grand jury, he can now be prosecuted for felony perjury. He knows it. So he may end up telling the truth because he's actually immune. It would. Now you think about it. With as much integrity as Hussein Obama has, okay, what's he going to do? Is he going to protect his friends by lying under oath? No, because he has immunity from everything that he did. Clapper doesn't. Brennan doesn't. Comey doesn't. Strzok doesn't. Page doesn't. Christopher Wray doesn't. None of them have it. You think Hussein's going to throw himself on a sword to save them? I mean, the man of integrity that he is? Of course not. All right, let's go to the pathetic public outburst of another version of Hussein Obama. I was going to say, oh, Hussein Obama, because that's stuck in my head. Gavin Newsom, who will be running against either, if Donald Trump's able to run again in 2028, but most likely J.D. Vance and a Vance Rubio ticket. This is probably who's going to be running against them. He's actually not strong. He is actually not smart, but he has the veneer of both. And you have to defeat the veneer with facts. You have to be so freaking prepared to go against Gavin Newsom, because he is going to spew one false fact after another, one false piece of information after another that will appear to be verified, even though it never is post-debate. It'll all be debunked. But during debate, it'll actually look real. That is his mastery. He is, of course, right out of John 8:44. He is of his father, the devil. And he seeks to do his father's will. That's who he is. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he's a liar and the father of lies. That's Gavin Newsom. He is just like that. There is no truth in the man. He will say anything. He will do anything. You watch his podcast, which is great, which is absolutely bombed, by the way. He will say things and totally agree with Charlie Kirk, and then the next day say the exact opposite thing from whatever podium he's standing at. That's who he is. You and I aren't like that. You and I are never going to understand it. There's no way to understand it. I don't get it, but that's who he is. He's what you call a chameleon, a soulless chameleon. I don't know how he sleeps at night. I don't know how he looks at his wife in the eye. I don't know how he looks at his 13 or 14-year-old daughter in the eye. I don't know how he does it. Because he just lies for a living. I was going to say he lies as a person. No, he is a liar. That's who he is. So it's just like John Solomon's like the star of the show tonight. John Solomon tweet, California launches blue state gerrymandering campaign in response to Texas districting. I know most of you already knew that already because this is 2 days old. I mean, the post isn't 2 days old, but we knew that they were doing this. The reason why I'm showing this is right there. This is where his public outburst began, was at this quote-unquote rally, and it was a typical Democratic Party rally. What does every Democratic Party rally have in common? Nobody's there. I mean, they pay some people behind them to show up, but there's nobody actually there. If you put, you know, Trump anywhere, you know, minimum 10,000 people coming. Minimum, 30, 40,000 really more likely. But they can't ever get a crowd like that because it's the same boring, monotonous Democratic Party talking points that don't ever change anything, don't ever help anybody, but in a false way denigrate their opposition. That's all a Democrat can ever do. So I just want to show you, this is where it all began, was at this rally, so to speak, for redistricting. So since it was about redistricting, let's look at redistricting facts. Put up the next for me. Timothy Shea tweet. Should be a Timothy Shea tweet. Am I on the wrong one?
I can go to that. I have John Solomon, or I have a Patriot. Boom. John Solomon.
That's okay. We can just.
We got John Solomon tweet, and then Timothy Shea. That's the order.
Oh, yeah.
Timothy Shea.
Was I right?
You gotcha.
Okay. Was I right or was I wrong?
Yes, sir, you're right.
Okay. All right. So here's the numbers. So since they're talking about redistricting right now in California, they're like, we're going to respond to what Texas is doing. You know, this horrible, quote unquote, illegal thing that Texas is doing that every other blue state has already done. They've already done it in absentia many, many years ago, a long time ago. The most gerrymandered states that also don't require voter ID or signature verification, the only states that Kamala Harris won were the states that don't require signature verification and don't require voter ID. It's the only states that she actually won. States like this that we're looking at right here. So they're crying about Texas redistricting to gain 5 seats for Republicans. So Gavin Newsom's throwing a temper tantrum and saying, you know what? If you're going to do it, then we're going to do it. You've already done it, Gavin. Look at the redistricting record of all of these blue states. Timothy Shea tweet, regarding redistricting, the following shows how many Republicans are in the state versus their representation in the U.S. House of Representatives. So you got Maine. 36% of Maine is Republican. How many seats do we get? None. Let's see, 42%, it's actually surprising to me, of Connecticut is actually conservative. How many seats do we have? None. Massachusetts was the top one. Maine is M.E., not M.A. So now top one was Massachusetts, 36%. So here's Maine, 46%, because Maine is always a tease every year. You're like, oh, wow, we're right in the middle of it, and then we lose at the end. Do we really lose, though? Probably not. Corrupt elections. But anyway, so Maine, 46% of Maine is Republican. And how many seats do we have? None. And Gavin Newsom is crying about Texas redistricting? New Mexico. Again, another tease every election. 48, nearly 50% of New Mexico. Nearly 50, I'll just put it at 50% of New Mexico, 50% of New Mexico is Republican, and we get 0 seats. New Hampshire, same thing, 0 seats. Rhode Island, 42%, 0 seats. Vermont, 32%, 0 seats. These sound like they're a little gerrymandered. Would everybody agree?
Yeah.
Shouldn't we get at least one, maybe two? If we represent in Maine, New Mexico, and New Hampshire, we have 50% of the population with 0 seats. Those sound like they're gerrymandered. So imagine being, just leave this up for me. Imagine being Gavin Newsom, and you wake up and you say, you know what? I'm going to write an injustice that Texas is doing exactly what's already been done in every Democrat state. Tom, that doesn't make any sense. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. It's just basically him flailing about and responding in the way that he believes is politically expedient for himself. All right, Hawaii, 38% of the population is us, no seats. Delaware, 42% of the population is us, 0 seats. California, we have 38% of the population. And we have 9 seats out of 52. But we're only about 20%, 18% short of where we should be. That's actually pretty good. So that's why he's redistricting, to take away. Yeah, how many seats do you think we're going to have after he redistricts? Two. 44% of Illinois. Illinois is the most gerrymandered, considered to be the most gerrymandered state in the union. Illinois, 44% of the population is us, and we get 3 seats out of 17. New York, 43% of the population is us. We get 7 out of the 27 seats. Maryland, 34% of the population is us. We get 1 seat. New Jersey, basically half of the state is us. We get 3 out of the 12 seats, 1/4. Half of the state is us. We can only get 1/4 of the seats. Oregon, 41% of the state is us, and we get 1 out of the 6 seats. So they've already been gerrymandered. So Gavin Newsom has zero justification for all of his ire against Texas. How dare you do what we've done? That's his argument. How dare you do what I do every day? That's his argument. Put up the next one for me. Should be a pic. There we go. Of Gavin Newsom's press office. Huge historic event. Now remember, this is the president where we've had at least 2 verified, it's really 3, assassination attempts against this president, right? 2 for sure. You know, Ryan Routh and Crooks. 2 for sure, right? Pennsylvania and the golf course. It's a huge historic event Thursday, 11:30 a.m. Huge event with nobody there. No, there's a lot of people. There's a lot of paid people behind them, paid for by ActBlue, and that's it. There's nobody else. Nobody else is there. People, the witnesses, there's nobody there. That's what they do. It's just like a Biden rally or Kamala Harris rally, unless they paid the people to come, which is why they ran out of $1.4 billion Kamala Harris spent on that campaign. Do you know why? Because she was spending $1,000 a person to fill an arena. That's why. Who would ever come and listen to me? Why would them ever listen to that? Who would ever come listen to that cackle? Thursday, 11:30 Pacific in Los Angeles. Historic event. Historic event where we are going to outline that we are mad about Republicans doing what we've already done for decades. A beautiful rally, trying to imitate Trump, trying to be the, you know, sort of bastardized version of Donald Trump. A beautiful rally. How would it be, Aaron?
A beautiful rally.
That's what he's trying to do, but he can't pull it off. Press conference with Gavin Christopher Newsom, what's that all about? Why would you be putting, it's just so weird. You're like, Tom, why do you get lost in these little pieces of minutia? I don't know. I just wonder why suddenly you put his middle name in your press release.
Like Trump.
Yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous. And oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
they're trying to copy him.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's all capital, too, just like Trump.
Oh, see, that's why. I mean, it's Aaron, Aaron, you know what? If you guys put enough in the Rumble rant tonight, Aaron's going to get paid. we're gonna actually not let Will get paid, and we'll pay Aaron instead.
Double.
Aaron gets double.
I get double.
He gets double. And strong down. Here it is. A press conference with Gavin Christopher Newsom. Hi, my name's Gavin. My name's Gavin Christopher Newsom. And strong Democrats will destroy Greg Abbott's totally rigged maps. Tremendous work is being done. Donald Trump, the criminal president. Get ready for the most beautiful payback you've ever seen. Could be the worst day of your life as your presidency ends. Dems retake Congress. A little aggressive, a little threatening there as your presidency ends. A man who's been, again, directed towards a man who's had two assassination attempts against him, really within the last 2 years, not even 2 years. So, I mean, we're only about a year away from Crooks the last 18 months. All right, so anyway, let's go on to the next one. Adam Hughes' video. Incitement. So here was, they're all at this, Aaron, side by side that. So here they are, they're all at this rally right here. And if you notice, to your far right there, that would be Pencil Neck. Shifty was also there. His speech was so incoherent, I couldn't even put anything together to use it because it makes no sense. And he knows he's teetering on the brink of oblivion too because he's one that is also part of the conspiracy and there's no way out. And his preemptive pardon will not work to keep him out of it. But anyway, I digress. So they're all going up and they're all, taking turns. So you have the two senators, Alex Padilla and Adam Schiff. This is Padilla. And Padilla was the one who put out the stunt of aggressively approaching, was it Tulsi Gabbard or was it somebody else? I think it was Tulsi Gabbard. It was Kristi Noem. Aggressively going after Kristi Noem, ends up being tackled and arrested. No matter how, no charges ever, never actually came about with that. And I'm not talking about that he should have been charged. But like he was claiming that all the cops that tackled him to the ground were going to be charged. Yeah, that never happened because he was wrong and it was just a publicity stunt so they could put it on social media. That's all Democrats have are these little vacuous acts that grab them some sort of notoriety from the hyper left, the 20% of the country. That's all. That's who they cater to. So here he is again. Adam Hughes' video, incitement. Senator Alex Padilla continues to incite violence against law enforcement officers and ICE agents. Play it for me.
That's right. When masked agents come out of unmarked cars and disappear people, that is intentionally created chaos. Violating the Constitution. Not just bad for democracy, it's also bad for the economy.
Not one thing was true that the senator from California just said. Not one thing was true. Masked agents from unmarked police cars grabbing people off the streets. No, they are grabbing illegal aliens off the streets. And no, you don't. I can't stand it when Republicans can't answer questions because I saw this on a podcast recently. Do they have to have warrants? Yeah, it's very easy. Absolutely freaking not. Why can't people answer these questions? It's stop watching NCIS, where they go, you have the right to remain silent. When they go up to a guy and arrest him, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say or do can be used against you in a court of law. That doesn't happen when you arrest people. How would you know, Tom? I don't know, just 25 years of doing it. Nobody ever does that. When they're handcuffing, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. You have a right to an attorney. If you cannot afford an attorney, one will be appointed to you. Do you understand these? That never happens, okay? Nobody ever runs, there's my warrant. Here's my warrant. That never happens, okay? And Democrats live in the delusion because they've been fed exclusively into their mind by Netflix for the last 20 years. That's why. They believe these things. None of this is true. Not one thing Padilla said is true. There's no mass agents pulling up their citizens. That's not happening at all. It's not unconstitutional. He said it was unconstitutional. It's a threat to our republic, a threat to our economy, a threat to our democracy. None of that's true. None of these people have the right to be in the democracy. None of them have a right to be in the community. None of them have a right to be your neighbor. So they must be deported to where they're supposed to be living. Not one thing the man said was true. All right, let's go to the next one. Bad hombre video. Here's Gavin Newsom is absolutely seething over ICE and Border Patrol agents outside his tiny rally. So let me set this up. this is glorious. And they're like, it was on purpose. It was, I admit it, 100%. It was absolutely on purpose. I love that it was on purpose. Trump set up basically an ICE raid right outside. Eric, you side by side that again for me. Right outside this little paid for rally. Remember, there's nobody standing in front of Newsom. That's all nothing. There's nobody there. But outside of this little rally, Donald Trump made sure that he set up an ICE raid, basically picking people off the street right in front of this little news conference slash rally. I mean, freaking brilliant. And it got in Gavin Newsom's tiny little brain where Trump lives rent-free. Play for me.
And right outside, at this exact moment, are dozens and dozens of ICE agents. Oh! Donald Trump, you think it's coincidental?
No.
Donald Trump and his minions, Tom Homan, tough guy, clearly decided, coincidentally or not, that this was a location to advance ICE arrests.
You know who should never call other people tough guy in a derogatory way? Little pansy effeminate men, like Gavin Newsom. I mean, you really, really should never call anybody a tough guy in a derogatory, demeaning way. When you've never done one thing your entire life but be pampered and sleep with your campaign director's wife. I mean, really, that's all Gavin Newsom has ever accomplished is being Nancy Pelosi's nephew via marriage, sleep with his best friend's wife, his best friend being his campaign manager during the campaign, by the way. That's all he's ever accomplished. All he's ever been is what they call a public servant. They're not public servants. They're basically public rapists. They rape the system. They're on the teat and never get off. They're never serving the public. They're being serviced by the public. They're being served by the public. That's who he is. He never accomplished a thing in his life, except for illegally, somehow or another, ascertaining a whole lot of money to buy himself a multi-million dollar mansion via funds that he couldn't possibly have earned. So I'd love to know where those things are. Campaign donations, I'm sure. Or from NGOs. Probably, you know who probably bought Gavin Newsom's mansion? Aaron. And you. I mean, just so you know, because it probably came from NGO donations. But anyway, so that Gavin Newsom's all upset about Donald Trump doing this basic ICE raid, right? I think it's brilliant. Just absolutely brilliant. You know who else is upset? Guther Engelmann video. Here's Karen Bass melting down. Play for me.
I cannot believe that this just happened to be a coincidence.
There is no way this was a coincidence. This was widely publicized that the governor and many of our other elected officials were having a press conference here to talk about redistricting, and they decided they were going to come and thumb their nose in front of the governor's face. Why would you do that? That is unbelievably disrespectful. It's a provocative act. They're talking about disorder in Los Angeles, and they are the source of the disorder in Los Angeles right now. This is just completely unacceptable. This is a administration, this is a Customs and Border Patrol that has gone amok. This absolutely has to stop. There was no danger here. There was no need to detain anyone here. And there was certainly no need to have a provocative act right here where the governor is having a press conference.
A provocative act where you're actually arresting illegals. You know, you see, look at the passion. Look at the passion with Karen Bass here, devout communist that she is. I mean, again, just, you know, linked to Cuban communism. That's who she is. Where was all this passion? You see her, look at her. She's bouncing around her. She's mad. She's clenching her teeth and she's yelling, right? Where was all the passion about, you know, I would love to see her yell and scream about, where was the water in the hydrants? There was none of that. Why was the reservoir that gravity fed the hydrants drained 2 years before the fire? Why wasn't the brush cut back away from the power poles that were built in the 1950s? Why do we have power poles that were built in the 1950s? Why is our power even above ground when we have the Santa Ana winds blowing over? I'd love to see all that passion directed towards that. I would love to see the passion towards why hasn't one person been issued a building permit in Pacific Palisades where 12,000 homes burned to the ground? I mean, here we are. I mean, I can't remember how long ago the fires were. Early Trump administration, so let's say February-ish. Not one person has been able to rebuild their home yet. I mean, they've had four building permits issued. That's it. For 12,000 out of 12,004. Where's the passion with that? What's she passionate about? She's passionate about Donald Trump collecting illegals off the streets. Rapists, murderers, thieves, And illegals. I don't care whether you even commit a subsequent crime. They're illegals. That's, look at the passion on her face. Not one bit of passion about the people who aren't even issued, not even issued a permit to rebuild. They haven't been issued a permit to clean off their lot of burned debris. I mean, the same exact thing's going on in Maui right now. Exact same thing's going on in Lahaina. And all that she's passionate about is Castro. That's who she served. That's who she's actually all, that's where the passion comes from. So, and of course, her passion also is about anything that's self-serving. Anything's politically expedient. But anyway, I would just love to see the passion about, I mean, I'd be yelling and screaming. If I was the mayor of the city that burned to the freaking ground, and I found out that fire department responded, and they cinched up their fire hoses into the hydrants and no water come out, I'd be screaming about that. But she didn't scream about it at all. But as a matter of fact, she was in Guyana at the time, and it was in no hurry to come home. Came home a couple days later. This is what she's all fired about. If you're a Democrat and you're watching this right now, understand what your gods are actually upset about. Or maybe you're not even at the level of worshiping people like Karen Bass. The people that you vote for, what they're actually passionate about is number one, themselves. And number two, enriching themselves. That's number one and number two. And both of them are tied for number one. But what they're actually passionate about is being anti-Trump. They don't ever help you. They don't ever lower your taxes. They don't pay any bills. They don't help you to pay any bills. I don't want the government paying bills. They don't help you do anything. All they do is create dramatic events. That's all. That's what this is right here. She never does anything. She never accomplishes anything. She never gets rid of the homeless. She never solves any crimes. She never lowers the crime rate. She never helps economically in LA County. She never does anything. But all she does is basically set up dramatic events so that she can have a press clip. That's all that she cares about. That's all she's motivated by. Let's go to the next one. Adam Hughes video. Here's what they're all so upset about. The Border Patrol is clearing out illegals ahead of Governor Newsom's press conference. Chief Greg Bovino explained, hey, we're here making Los Angeles a safer place. Since we don't have politicians who'll do that, we'll do it ourselves. Play for me.
Mr. Bovino from Fox 11, can I get a quick comment?
Hey, what's going on here?
How you doing? What happened?
We're here making Los Angeles a safer place. Since we won't have politicians that'll do that, we do that ourselves. So that's what we're here today, as you can see. Already making it a safer place. We're glad to be here. Not going anywhere.
And you know, the governor's inside right there.
I don't know where he's at.
He's about 100 feet behind us. Do you have any comment from him or anything?
Again,
any message?
We're making Los Angeles and California a safer place. We're going to continue to do that. And they can take that one to the bank and cash it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what got them all very, very upset. And here's Newsom post-event. Eric Doherty video just in. Gavin Newsom is claiming Donald Trump will run for a third term. He's so upset that he starts talking about Donald Trump's third term. Play for me.
Well, I think it's pretty sick and pathetic. And it just said everything you need to know, the setting that we're under. That they chose the time, manner, and place to send their district director outside right when we're about to have this press conference. She said everything you know about Donald Trump's America. And that was top down. You know that for a fact. And they'll deny it, I'm sure. Maybe they won't deny it. She said everything you know about the authoritarian tendencies of the President of the United States. I said in a moment ago, wake up, America. Wake up. You will not have a country if he rigs this election. You will have a president who will be running for a third term. Mark my word. I wasn't exaggerating when I said that I received in the mail a Trump 2028 hat from one of his biggest supporters. These guys are not screwing around. The rules do not apply to him. The most corrupt president in history. He doesn't believe in free enterprise, crony capitalism. He is wrecking this country, wrecking the economy. He's a lawless president. Wake up, America. Wake up to what's going on.
And again, now one thing the man says is true. The economy's crashing. Trump's the most corrupt president in history. Give me the list of the corrupt things he's done. Tell me. He's arresting people on the streets. Illegals. That's correct. That's not corrupt. Secured $17 to $20 trillion in foreign and domestic investment into our economy, yet is it crashing our economy? Okay, that's not correct. Unemployment is down. Let's see. GDP is up, so that's not crashing our economy. Let's see. Inflation is way down. That's not crashing our economy. Tariff money, about $800 billion has come in from tariff money. That's not crashing. So not one thing the man says is true. Put up the next one for me. Here's why they're really upset. It was a TikTok tweet. Breaking: DOJ just sent demand letters to sanctuary cities, counties, and 12 states, plus D.C., warning them to eradicate sanctuary policies or they will lose their funding. Last chance, little Gavi. This is what they're really upset about. Because if they don't conform to the Trump administration EOs, his executive orders, they're going to lose their federal funding. And Donald Trump just mandated via EO that they all clean up their homeless encampments. And if they don't, they're not receiving any money. If you go DEI, no money. Girls and boys and girls restrooms, no money. All those different things. Sanctuary cities, sanctuary areas, no money. And they all, when you're Newsom and you are billions in debt, when you are New York City and Eric Adams and about to be Zohran Mamdani, about to be the mayor of New York, you need federal dollars because you're billions in debt. And that's what they're all squirming about. All right, that's it. 10:15. I could do more. All right, Silent is the only Rumble rant tonight. Man, we were rolling. We were huge. $20, man. You know what? Will doesn't get paid. That's it. No, nothing for Will. He's going to have to drive home straight from here. He won't be able to gas up his car. He's probably going to run out of gas. No Applebee's. Nothing for Will. Nothing at all. And Aaron only gets half pay. And I am a typical Democrat. Everything is 100% for me. But they get nothing. So that's the way it is. But anyway, love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Stick around. Oh, thank you for it. Silent, thank you so much for the $20. Love you guys also in the chat. Stick around for the post game. Back here tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. God bless you guys.